Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Kuftes, Chapter 109, it's Rabbi Binny Marilis. Perek Kuftes is most interesting in that the different commentaries sort of begin with different jumping off points. And what that means is they really have different approaches to the entirety of the text, even as they sort of agree as to the general theme and the timing of the authorship. It's David HaMelech, certainly, in relation to David HaMelech. And what you have is the story of David and Shaul. At the root of this story here is David running away from Shaul HaMelech, Saul the king. And in so doing, he is offering up a form of a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God, and it sort of takes two approaches. And what you have in it is some very harsh, very strong language about one's enemies, so which the Sforno then takes it to really mean that the whole thing is about the Bnei HaGolos, the Jews in the exile, and the enemies, and what should happen to their enemies. But if you're taking it to a specific story, the story of David and Shaul, so one could relate it to the approach of the Radak, which is that the majority of the cursing and the negative language in the text relates to what David is beseeching God should happen to them, to his enemies. And the Malbim's approach, which is perhaps more interesting, is that what you have is a structure where the enemy is hoping all of these things and heaping all of these things on David HaMelech, and then David HaMelech responds. And essentially, the major section of the text is where you have this sort of argument. Between verses, I would say, Vav, verse 6, through approximately 15 or 16, you have this approach. Either it's David about them, or them about David. And then the way the Malbim writes it, so from verse Tes Zion until the end, from verse 16 to the end, is all of David's response to the things that they're saying. So let's look at it together. We'll throw in a couple of very nice Rashis here as well. And we begin as follows. L'manetzeach l'David mizmor Elohei tehi losi al techerash. So, for the conductor by David, a psalm, right? L'manetzeach is the conductor, a psalm. Hashem of my, Elohei tehi losi, Hashem of my praise, al techerash, be not silent. Do not stay silent in this situation. Be a voice for me, be an ear for me. Heed my call. Kifi rasha ufi mirma alai pasachu. Why should you listen to me now? So David is now describing all the things that have happened to him or are happening to him. Right? For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened up against me. Dibru iti lishon shakir. They have spoken to me the language of falsehood. To understand it in a very sort of simple way, it's sort of speaking out of two sides of the mouth, right? You have a pirmirma and a pirasha. Pirmirma and pirasha, they sort of mean different things. They sort of have different understandings as to what they are. The way the Malbim writes it, I believe it's the Malbim. The way the Malbim writes it here in Kuftes, so he says you have somebody who speaks about rishus, and you have somebody who speaks about mirma. They're not the same. They're not the same thing. Here we go. So he says. Says the Malbim, Kipi Resha, Bitzad Echad Pisco Pebe Resha Lahamiteni Chinam. One side of his mouth speaks to me negatively to simply kill me. Bitzad Echad Pisco Pebe Mirma. The second side of the mouth speaks to me out of trickery, Mefarish Bab Mirma, Ki Dibru Isi Lashon Sheker. They spoke to me in falsehood. Sheba Ace Dibro Iti. When they spoke to me, Dibru Be Mirma. They, with deceit, Ki Iluhem Ohavai. Right, as if they love me, uperesha, but rather it's a peresha. Ki, why? How do we know this? Ki is a verse. Then verse three continues. Ki divrei sinna sivavuni, relachamuni chinam. So he says, Right? It says the Malbim, Kidivrei Sina Sivavuni, the English translation, as with the words of hatred they have enriched and encircled me and attacked me without cause. Right? Ki kishalo bifanai, when they're not with me, Sivavuni Divrei Sina. Ledaber alai lashon hara. They surround me with hateful speech and hateful words to speak about me negatively. Vaidekach, and therefore, says the Malbim, Lachamuni Chinam. They fight with me for no reason, lahamit osi, to kill me. So you have here the situation so far, is where David is in a precarious and dangerous situation, and the people are sort of grouping against him, and he's describing the manner in which they're grouping against him in a sort of very deceitful and trickerous manner. Tachas ahavasi yistinuni va'ani sifila. It's a very beautiful verse. In return for my love, they accused me, but I was prayer. Like, what does that mean? I was prayer. Va'anis filah. I was prayer. Says Rashi, like this. Tachas ahavasi osach, as under or instead of or in return of my love for him, yistinuni. He hated me, despised me. Va'ani tfilah. Va'ani, but me, says Rashi, mispalel alecha tamid. I daven for you all the time. I daven for you all the time. If you continue with the next verse, Vasimu alai ra'a tachas tova, v'sina tachas ahavasi. Right, it's sort of a parallel text, brackets itself. Right, and they put upon me evil under, right, or in place of my goodness. Right, v'sina tachas ahavasi, and hate instead of, in place of my love. So what's ra'a tachas tova? So if you take Klal Yisrael in the general, Rashi says, Shivim parim ani makriv b'chol shana b'shil shivim umos mevakesh l'gishamim. So he says that each and every year, we know on Sukkot, each and every year we bring korbanos, we bring sacrifices that match the total number of the nations of the world, and I beseech Hashem on their behalf, not only for their livelihood, but for the gishamim, for their financial success. Behei miri imli, and they are evil to me. Right? So there you have the turning the bad for the good. Says the Radak similarly, Ani hayisi ohevo samahem yistinuni, I loved them and they hated me. Vani tfila. Vani ish tfila. And I am a person of tfila. Klamar heim anche milchama alai. Right? There are people who battle against me. Vani. I ish tefillah shayisi mispalel aleihem, and I am a person of davening, of prayer. Oh my, what do I have? I have tefillah that I would pray for them. All I have for them, all I can offer is tefillah, and I would daven for them. Ibn Ezra says similarly, the same idea. But tam shayisi mispalel l'shem ba'adam, I would daven for them. I would daven for them. That's how I approach my situation. I don't love and hate them. I have no hate for them. I love them. But they hate me. So he says, Hafkeda love Rasha, Visatanya Amod Al Yamina. So here you begin a call for punishment out to them, right? So he says, appoint for them a wicked man over them, Hafkeda alav Rasha, and let an adversary stand in his right, right? Visatan, the word Satan is used here, let the Satan stand at his right. So the Radak says that from this point going forward, for the next 14 verses approximately, you have David's call for curse and punishment to the enemies. Right? So it's a very interesting sort of very powerful request. So let there be evil at their side. Right? Let there be evil standing at their side. Says the Radak, Malach Satan Yamod Al Yimino Lisitno. Right, the Satan should stand next to them. There should be a curse for everything that he tries to do. Right, and then the Radak brings it back to the direct story. He says it in the singular. Right, the language here is in the singular. So he says, "Al rosh harishoim hasonimoso." On the leader of those who hate him, and who was that? Doeg ha'adomi. Who is the one who hates David more than anyone else? So that would be Doeg ha'adomi. So he says, so therefore it's directly about him. And Lamaisa, I believe, when we look back at the story, we could see how it is that Doeg HaAdomi ends and how his days end. Let's keep going. When he is judged, may he go out condemned, and may his prayer miss its mark. So he says, I am an Eish Tefillah, right? And I daven for them in my situation, even though they hated me, right? So when he's judged, let's say for him, in that way, right, he should be judged in the negative. And any of his prayers, any of his tefillos, should not be heard. Don't listen to what he has to say. Don't listen to the language of his tefillos. Don't heed any of his prayers. It should all come out against him. It should all come out against what he has to say. Now, as I mentioned to you at the outset, that the approach from the Malbim side is the exact opposite. That what you have in these verses going forward is them speaking to David HaMelech, and this is what they're saying to David HaMelech, right? And it's a very sort of a different approach, whereas the Malbim will go on this way, the Radak will go on this way about David versus them. So here you're going to have their tefillah, you're going to hear their prayer against David HaMelech coming up in two verses. So let's keep going. And his prayer, this is where the shift now happens in 8. Because what the Malbim says, what's the tefillah? What's the prayer that we're talking about? What should it be that should not come true? So then he says the next set of verses is that tefillah. The next few verses until it says Ya'an in verse 16, at the beginning of verse 16, that's the shift back to David. Here, it's the enemy speaking to David, and this is the prayer of the enemy. The Radak says the exact opposite. He says, no, this is part of David's call to Hashem against the enemy. So either way you want to take it, you can understand it. Yamav me'atim pekudaso yikach acher. May his days be few. May another take his position. May his children be orphans and his wife a widow. V'noah yanu'u benav v'shi'elu. Right, his children be wandering and begging. Right, v'darshu mi'charvo seyem. And may they then seek charity. May they seek it out from amongst the ruins. There also, Rashi, there's a very beautiful Rashi, sort of touches it, explains it slightly differently. What does it mean, v'darshu? Right, what does that mean, v'darshu here, that they should seek or they should check into? So he says, sheyishalu acherim aleihem. Others will ask about them, like what happened to them, what caused this. And it's not simply just about them going out and looking for food. That's of course the possibility, right? That they'd have to go out in embarrassment and ask for food. This is beyond that, which many of the Mefarshim agree to. Beyond that is the notion that people will look at the situation and say, what happened to those guys? Why is their situation as such? Yinakesh noshe, verse 11. Yinakesh noshe lechol asher lo, v'yavozu zarim yigi'o. The creditors will seize upon all that he has, and non-relatives will destroy all of his labor. The sense is that someone else will take over his property. It's a very powerful set of curses, of punishments from the words of David HaMelech on an enemy. Right, so his family will suffer, and his children will suffer, and his financial situation will suffer. Almost the sense that leave no remnant of this person in the world. Right, his children shall be alone. His wife will be alone. That they will have nothing. They will have no chesed. They'll have nothing. No one will come after them. No one will allow them with goodness. Al yehi lo Moshe chosed, says verse 12. Right? No one should extend their hand to them in kindness and righteousness. Va'al yehi chonen yisomav. And none should be merciful to his orphans. Right? Not only should the person himself be punished severely, nobody should help out the entirety of the family. Right? No one should provide for them any sort of sustenance, any sort of help. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. Let's keep going. Verse 13. Yi acharisol lehachris bedor acher yimach shemam. Wow, that's a famous term, yimach shemam v'zichram. We use that quite often when we talk about our enemies and the enemies of the Jewish people. those who have caused us pain and suffering for all the stages of history. Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, their name should be erased, right? Their memory should be erased. So here he says, David HaMelech, here's the source of it, right? His posterity, right? His acharis, his end, should be cut off. B'dor acher yimach shemam, and in a later generation, let their name be erased. What does that mean? So essentially, at a certain point in the near future, that they should disappear. They should disappear from the earth. That if their family tree sort of ends, either by virtue of the fact that simply nobody has any children, or by virtue of the fact they sort of become assimilated or intermingled with others, that will not be lost to the world. In fact, that will be the fulfillment of what it is that David HaMelech wants. Yizachir avon avosev el Adonai. May all of his iniquities and the father's iniquities be remembered before Hashem. Right? Vechatas imo altimach. And the sins of the mother, not be erased. There's all that they have done, right? All that they have done, all that they have caused, and all the evil that they have brought to the world should be remembered. It should not be forgotten. It should be remembered upon them as well. Right? Generally speaking, and you're the child of somebody, you would like to be remembered for yourself. However, in a case where the parent is of good lineage and of good quality and of good actions, so it's good to have that kind of lineage, that kind of a shame going before you. And the reverse, of course, is simply not the case. You would never want to have the shame, a negative shame, going before you into the world. You want to be then judged on your own. And so it says here, so not only should they all be punished, and not only should they have no one who should look out for them and be watchful and mindful of them, but that the chatoim, the sins should go with them into the next generation. Yihyu neged Adonai tamid v'yachreis mi'eretz zichram. May they be before Hashem at all times, and may he be cut off. May Hashem cut off their memory from the earth. Same idea. They should simply be erased from the world. And they should stand before God at all times. And that can be viewed as good, and that can be viewed as bad. The sense that it's viewed as bad is that Hashem is always, right, that Hashem is always looking at them, right? He's always looking at them. Or you could say simply, as Rashi says, what should be before them? Ha'avonos ha'ed le'negen Hashem tamid. That which they have done should always be before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, you have a slight shift. So here the Malbim says what's going on is that until this point it was the enemy saying all those things, the terrible things about David HaMelech, and hoping that all those things would happen to him. Here then says the Malbim, to begin with Ya'an, is David HaMelech answering each and every one of the charges that were brought down, and thus the rest of the Mizmer sort of falls into line of that. The Radak does not say that. The Radak says that until this point, really in the litany of charges, these are the litany of charges that David HaMelech is expounding on for the for his enemies, and it sort of then continues forward until Vi'ato, until 21. In 21 you'll see a shift there, which is very crucial. So let's, for the sake of argument, take the Malbim's approach, and he says like this: Ya'an shelo zachar asos chosed v'yirdov ish ani ve'evyon v'nichei levav limoses. So it says verse 16, because he never remembered to do kindness, and he pursued the poor and destitute man, and the brokenhearted to kill him. Right now, what's happening here is, I'll read you the Malbim directly. It says the Malbim as follows: Ata maschi lahashiv kil lasam al chaykam. So here he's beginning to answer their curses. Ya'an asher. Right, ha'oyev ha'mikala lo zachar asos chesed. He says, look at it this way: the oyev ha'mikala, the enemy that's cursing me, so he doesn't do chesed. V'ish ani ve'evyom nichei levav radaf lemoses. Right, he tries and he runs after. Right, he runs after the destitute and the poor to kill them. Says the Malbim, right, ligamor mitaso, to end and kill him. Shezen negin mashakos of tchila. Right, that which it says at the outset, tchila shehistadlu sheshau yahargenu. That Shaul is after me to kill me. And then it continues, V'yehav klalavitovo ehu, right, that he loves, that they love the curse, so that it may come upon him. He desired not blessing, lo chafetz bivrecha v'tirchak mimenu, and he runs away from it, he stays away from blessing. So you want to say all these things to me, and you want to say all this stuff about me, so I'll say it right back to you. Says the Malbim. Not only that, Ahav Klala, Shehi HaKol HaNizkar, Shekila Lo So Bedine Shemayim. He cursed me, and that's the curse that's in the curse of heavens, Lachain, right? Tavo HaKlala Alav, V'tavo Uhu, V'tivo Ehu, it should go to him. V'gam Sha'anochi Asig Bracha Takas Kil also. And not only that, will I receive a bracha under his curse. Lo yelo chelik ba. He will not have any part of it. Kihu lo chafetz bevracha. He's not interested in bracha. Lachain, therefore, vatir chach mimenu. Therefore, he stays away from it. So not only is he not interested in bracha, but he's really all about klala. Now watch the language and the descriptive nature of the extent of the klala feeling amongst this group. Vayilbash kilala kimado. He dons curse like a garment. Vatavo kamayim birkirbo. It comes into his innards like water. V'chashemen be'atzmosav. And like oils into his bones. Right? And a person anoints themselves. A person, is cleansing themselves or is healing themselves. They rub oil. So the rubbing of the oils on the body, right, is though that they become synthesized with the body, they become somewhat absorbed by the being. Here he's saying it's absorbed until his bones. It's in his bones. It's in his bones, the klala. Tihilo chiveged yate, in verse 19, may it be to him like a garment in which he wraps himself. We'll explain what that means in a moment. L'mezach tamid yach gireha. A mezach is a belt. It should be a belt with which he constantly girds himself. Says the Malbim, what does that mean? Like kebeged yata? He says a beged, it's very important to understand, a beged is the outer garment. He said it shouldn't just be a malbush, some sort of a clothing, or some sort of a garment, but rather a cloak, the outer cloak. He should wear that on his sleeve, in a certain sense. It should be on the outside. It should be something that's seen and experienced by everybody else about this person, and not on the inside. And as well with the belt, he says, what kind of belt is a mezach? This is fascinating. This is where the Malbim comes through in a great way. He says, a mezach hu hachagur, it's the belt, shebo chogrim al begadim aruchim. It's what you put on large clothing or long clothing, lahagbihan kimidas aguf, so that they hang appropriate to the person's personal measurements. You want to call them suspenders, you want to call them... what else could you call them besides suspenders? Suspenders is probably the right one. Bimasha haklala aruka megufo. In fact, that the curse is longer or larger than the personal body. But tzarich mezach lahagbia habeged lemidas aguf. So he needs that kind of a belt so the clothing, the garment, matches the goof. So he says, tihya haklala atzma kemezach. Let the klala itself, the curse itself, be like that belt. She yachgorba, that he should wrap himself or gird himself in it, lechavein haklala el midaso, so that the klala can then go to its proper measurement and to its proper place. It's a beautiful image, a beautiful understanding of that idea. So he says, verse 20, chaf zos piulas sot naime eis adonai v'hadovrim ra al nafshi. So he says, this is the reward of my adversaries from Hashem and those who speak evil against my soul. Now you can see, just there in the text, why that would make sense to be the language of response. Right? That this is David HaMelech sort of speaking back. You can also see how it can be a continuative language as well. So both approaches are certainly legitimate an approach to what's going on. The Malba makes it somewhat more interesting. It's almost like a back and forth, each one cursing out the other. And the Radak sort of keeping it a little bit more streamlined, that it's one voice sort of dealing with different aspects. You have the language of what we want to happen, why we want it to happen to them. And now he says, V'ata, but you, right? The V is very crucial here. V'ata in verse 21. V'ata Elohim Adonai Asei Iti Laman Shemecha. Do for me according to your name, for your name's sake. Ki Tov Chastecha Hatzilein. For your goodness and for your righteousness, your kindness, rescue me. So now, All was before was simply the curses and what should happen to the other. Right? This is what should happen to the other, this is what should happen to them. Now for me, Hatzileni, right, Leman Shemecha, Ki Ani Ve'Evyon Anochi, I am destitute, I am poor, right? Ve'Livi Chalal B'Kirbi, my heart is empty within me, it's dead inside of me. Kitzel Kinetoson Helachti Ninarti Ka'arbe, right? I'm like a shadow that walks, right? I'm driven about, I'm moved about like a shadow that moves. Right, we've seen before in other mizmorim the idea that as the day comes close to its end, the shadow grows long. By virtue of that, the shadow is essentially being chased out in a certain vision of the image. The shadow disappears at night. So, right, so here you have him like a shadow. It's a shadow that's chased away. He's a nothing. He's empty. Nin arti ka'arbe, I'm tossed about like a locust. Like a locust can be dangerous, but in the end of the day, a singular locust, if you catch up to it, or if you hold it, you can destroy it very, very easily, right? It's sort of moved around. The Malbim writes, it gets moved around. Ninarti is a sense of wind, like, right? So ninarti, it's sort of blown about here and there and here and beyond. Birkai koshlum mitzom, my knees have become weakened from fasting. Ubisari kochash mishamen, and my flesh is lean without fat, right? Shaman here is not from oil, but from shamein, sense of fatness. So I'm thinned. I'm withering. I'm a withering away. Vani hayisi cherpalahem. I have become a disgrace to them. Yiruni yiniun rosham. Those who see me, they shake their heads. Yiniun is a sense of like disappointment or disparaging an approach of an action. They simply shake their heads in my direction. I'm nothing. I'm zero. I'm lost. I have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to remain. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to save me. Verse 25, Chaf Hei, V'ani Hayisi Cherpa Lehem, right, this one we just did. Verse 26, Azreini Adonai Elohai, Hoshi'eini Kichazdecha. So similar to verse 21, right? So it says, Hashem, you have to help me. Hoshi'eini, you have to, salvation needs to come my way, right? Because kechasdecha, according to your righteousness, right? That, you have to save me. But as before we said, ki tov chastecha hatzileini, so here, azreini and hoshieini. V'yeidu, and therefore, by virtue of that, ki yadcha zos ata Adonai asisa, right? That they should know in verse 27, let them know that this is your hand, that you, Hashem, have made it happen. Don't make it subtle. Don't make it with the ability to be misunderstood. Let them understand that you, Hashem, are the one who helps people in my situation, who is there for me, who is there for others like me in the world who are suffering. They might curse me. Right? They might offer out blasphemous, curseful language, but you, Hashem, you bless, you offer bracha. Kamu v'yevoshu, v'avdecha yismach. Right? They rose up, v'yevoshu, they will be ashamed, they'll be embarrassed, and your servant will rejoice. That's me, right? Avdecha yismach. You, me, your servant, who is faithful to you, who is truthful to you, who believes in your kindness and your righteousness, who is asking for it and beseeching for it and simply requesting that it would happen, I will be victorious, and I will stand victorious, and I will stand in joy. Yilbishu sotanai kilima v'yatu kimi'il boshtam. So now we have another vision of another cloak, another garment that they should wear, right? May the adversaries be clothed in humiliation, v'yatu kimi'il boshtam, and their shame should be their cloak. It should be their outside garment. It should be that which they wear on the outside. They should be known. It should be seen to everybody else. A, that they wear their hate on their sleeve, and two, that they wear their embarrassment and their shame as a cloak. Let it not be on the inside, let it be on the outside. Ode Adonai Me'od Bifi Ubesoch Rabim Ahalalenu. So he says that, and then in that moment, I will offer many exceeding praises with my mouth in public. With all those will hear all of my praises for you, Hashem, not only for the bad, but also not only for the good, but also for the bad. That Hashem stands at the right of the destitute. He stands equal to, next to those who are lacking, those who are in painful, difficult situations, to save them from the condemners of the soul, to save them from those who are trying to destroy them, to save them from those who are trying to bring their end. So he says, says David HaMelech in the Mizmor that he understands the situation, he understands the predicament, and he understands who is against him. But if you want to then extend it beyond just David HaMelech, in the sense that all the other Mizmorim are not just about David, but they're timeless, they're for all time, the situation where always a person is in time of need or time of pain, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always standing to the right of the individual, and he's always there to help, and he's always there to offer a salvation from those who are trying to bind up one's soul. Simply as the person is making a request, the person has to offer them, and the person has to then at the same time acknowledge that when the salvation comes, even in asking Hashem, beseeching Hashem, and recognizing God in the world in the time of despair, that the praise will come, even in the time of despair, and the praise will come certainly and in a public manner, the time of the salvation, the time of the joy that David HaMelech writes about. We continue tomorrow with Perek Kuf Yud, chapter 110.